Well, hello again there, folks. So I'm sure you'll have all seen that there's a big smackdown happening in America with the kind of a sort of civil war within MAGA about what is actually the place of Zionism and Israel within it, and very powerful, influential players, and how that affects the rest of the Republican Party. You've got the interview with Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes and all of this. So it's this kind of it's a kind of battle, big battle. I did an article on this last week, and I likened it to like Spanish galleons blowing the hell out of each other, but it's podcasts. And in our podcast scene in Britain, I noticed that Constantine Kisson has chimed in. And in actual fact, it looks like he's been sort of on some sort of emergency call where he's on his way over to America to, he's done an interview with Ben Shapiro, and he says he's going to do more. So it's as if they've called in like all of their assets. Because look, I'm going to lay me cards on the table here. I don't like Constantine Kisson. I don't like trigonomy. I don't like this kind of network of containment podcasters who amplify each other, and they've all got a specific agenda, and they all don't like the same people and all the rest of it. So I'm quite happy to see this breach in the containment, which is what's happening, and I find it long overdue. But what I wanted to talk about here is one video, a little 10-minute sort of monologue that Constantine Kisson gave, because I think it sums up how manipulative and dishonest what's going on here is. I'm not going to actually clip it out. I've just got a few bullet points because I know that people will probably get irritated, and I want to keep this video short as well. But what he's doing here is trying to put this into a context for his audience, who are obviously more aligned with the Zionist sort of side of the argument, which is why they're his audience. But the thing is, he presents himself as a centrist, as a kind of classical liberal. Whereas if you look at somebody like Ben Shapiro or Mark Levin or the American Republican establishment more generally, and the mainstream media over there, you'll see that they're much more explicit and just straightforward with this. But Kisson presents himself as being more like a kind of neutral, objective, classic liberal, and he isn't. He is absolutely on board with Team Zio. And so in his pushback, in this little video that he did, which is like 10 minutes long, I've broke down here what it is, how the little sort of manipulative tricks that he's doing, the little sleight of hand. And so he opens the video by saying history repeats, and he goes into sort of the generations and the memory of World War II. And so straight away, you know what's happening here. You know that he's positioning this to say that anti-Semitism is on the rise. We didn't learn from history. History repeats, and that we're heading into these dark times again. So what this does, this is coded as the Nazis are on the rise. And then he goes on and says, well, basically, he poisons the well by talking about Tucker and Nick Fuentes and how they've just monetized their audiences for outrage. And then he goes on and he says a bit of background here about how Gen Z is feminized. All of these young men, they have female school teachers, they've been downtrodden. And here's the thing, I'm not saying that this stuff is incorrect. I'm not saying that he's wrong about this. I just find it a bit strange to bring all of this up in the context of a huge containment breach about the role of Zionism in Israel and American politics. And look, and in Brit it's more or less the same in Britain as well. It's just we don't have the power and influence of America and Washington and all of that. And so the idea is that he's saying, well, Gen Z men are a bunch of wimps, basically. They've only really known female role models, and it's not their fault. Young white men, well, have got a right to be angry. So then he racializes that a bit more. Once again, he's not incorrect here. These are perfectly legitimate reasons, and they probably are resulting in young men being angry at the system, one wanting to tear it all down more and more. And so then he heads into Fuentes's sort of business model, if you want to call it that, which is more well poisoning, where he's saying Fuentes doesn't really care about making the lives better of his audience. He just wants to get clicks and he just wants to spread outrage. Now, remember, this is all in the context of the discussion around Zionism in America, and we're not really getting that addressed. But what I will say is that he's focused, he's zoomed in specifically on Fuentes and on, say, men under 30, Gen Z men. And the reason he's done that is because he can say, well, they're all feminized, they're all radicalized, they do have a right to be angry. But the problem here is it's not just them who are angry at the status quo. I mean, you've got Judge Napolitano or whatever he's called. I can't pronounce that Italian name, but he gets people like John Mearsheimer on and Douglas McGregor on. Like, these are quite literally men in their 70s who are sick and tired of the power of the lobby, as they call it, in Washington. So this idea that you're going to zoom in on Fuentes and Fuentes' audience, you'll notice that he's hardly mentioned Tucker Carlson here at all, except the poison the well. Tucker Carlson, again, he is like certainly not an incel. He's a multimillionaire. He's in his 50s, and he's had enough of this situation as well. But it's a bit more difficult to crack that nut. It's a bit more difficult when it's men in their sort of well-off men later in life who've got families and all of that. So he's centered this little monologue on Fuentes because he's what's seen an easy target from the perspective of saying, well, this is all the fault, and we'll come to it now, of woke and the woke right. So the rise of the woke right is all of these young men who are critical of race, who want to form, or who are getting a kind of racial consciousness. You notice that he leans into the sort of classic liberal frame here, where we're all just individuals, which is obviously not true. It's obviously, and everybody has got a tribe in the world except these young white men. All they're doing is reacting. And in all fairness, Kissin would probably agree with that as well. And then he goes back into the post-war morality. So the post-war morality is where racism, particularly anti-Semitism, were became the we got a new moral axis. And in that, you'll see that if the mid-century Germans were in support of something, we would go in the other direction. And so we got this sort of weird inverted morality of Nazism. And so he leans into that as well. And then that in turn led to mass immigration because we'd had our kind of racial defense mechanisms broken apart. Now, again, like you have to wonder how that came along. Kissin seems to suggest here that we collectively in the West decided to go down this route of sort of self-flagellation and white guilt and everything. Whereas if you want to have another perspective, you can say that it's actually from the establishment, from Hollywood, where that morality was forced on us from on high. But these are things, again, that would make him very uncomfortable, so he just won't touch it. But really, what you'll notice in all of this is that he hasn't actually addressed the core complaint of Nick Fuentes, which is that America should not be supporting Israel. Israel is up to all kinds of genocidal things. They're kind of sucking America dry. These are the complaints that are made. They've corrupted the American political establishment, and they've created this buffer of which Constantine Kissin belongs, which is specifically designed to keep out other elements to the right. Now, in the Mark Levin sort of diatribe, he openly admitted to all of these people, he openly admitted that over the years, over the decades, they had cancelled Joe Sobran, Pat Buchanan, all of these other people who were paleoconservatives. They were more in support of the sort of racial European people as a people and all of this. So all of that was admitted to. They admitted that they cancelled all of that because it's not in their interests. And what you'll notice is that all of this is missing, but so too is the idea that the core objection here is not about female school teachers, it's about Zionism and the power that it has in America. But what I find especially insidious that Constant Kisten does here is that, and it's why he's worse than the other ones, it's that he's kind of aware of dissident right talking points. If you think of like the post-war morality, which is what a lot of people would regard as being this kind of red-pilling moment, when you'd all of a sudden discover that actually, yes, it is the in the post-war, in the decades after those, especially in the sort of the towards the end of the 60s and into the 70s, you began to see in Hollywood this idea that the Germans were not just opposition, not just other soldiers and other armies, which you do see in earlier movies from Britain. If you look at something like The Longest Day and the older movies on World War II, you tend to find that they're just soldiers. But as you get across the decades, I've got to be careful what I'm saying here, but the sort of Steven Spielberg style narrative on what the Germans were becomes more and more explicit, and more the Germans become more and more demonic as they begin to encompass an objective evil, a kind of in a new theology of the West. So Kisten knows about these things. And the reason why it can come across as a clever framing is because he's giving an explanation as to what the background of what's going on. But it's fundamentally basically just a long way around of bringing us back to the post-war morality. And then on top of that, completely avoiding the issue of the day, which is Zionism. So when I looked in the comments under this video, everybody was celebrating how clever this was, how insightful that he was. But what he's done is kind of cherry pick a bunch of sort of talking points from the right wing, and then use that as background noise to say this is the full context of what's going on, but not actually addressing. There's this big Zionist-shaped hole in the middle of the video, because even if we concede all of these things are perfectly true and correct, we're still left with the problem of the initial complaint against the American government, the forever wars, the corruption, and all of the other allegations, which are now all over the internet, breaching the containment zone. And once again, it's not just Nick Fuentes. There's all these things have been out there for a long time. There's a lot of people getting sick and tired of it. And I just find this very manipulative and very dishonest and quite cunning in a way. But if you see through it, you'll see that actually there's not really very much here at all, except more containment. So just a quick video on this. Thanks a lot, folks. I'll see you later.